Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Turn to the word of the Lord, Galatians chapter 6, 7 and 8, also John chapter 4, verses 37 and 38. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. John chapter 4, verse 37. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. You may be seated. Talk to you for a few moments on the subject, the blessed exception to the law of sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow. That's not only a standout scripture, it is arguably the most foundational principle in all the world. People have told me, said, well, I'll tell you what, the reason why so-and-so has AIDS is because God is punishing you. No, it's not. It's a process of sowing and reaping. It's not a direct judgment of God. It was, most people would not even be on the face of the earth. Long ago, there's been a greasy spot on a highway. God does not single out people, direct his judgment toward them. 2,000 years ago, God directed his judgment on one man. The Bible said by one man sin entered into the world. That was Adam. And by one man righteousness entered into the world. That was Jesus Christ. And so all of you that look at people and say, oh, God's judging them for this and that and so on, you've missed the principles of God. Truth is, people do reap terrible things because of what they sow. They make terrible decisions. They do terrible things, and they reap from that. But that's not a laser judgment of God toward them. We reap what we sow. That is a true scripture. I live by it. It has been extremely rewarding to me because I sow. I sow by the obedience of the Word of God. I search the Word of God to find things to obey because I know if I can search the Word of God, find things to obey, I will reap a tremendous blessing. That's the reason why some people are not blessed. They not only don't search the Word of God to find something to obey, they try to avoid obedience. And when they do that, they circumvent their harvest. They reap nothing because they have not sowed in obedience in the Word of God. I live by it. Extremely rewarding. I sow by the obedience of the Word of God. I reap an abundance of reward and have for a good number of years. As fundamental to all of life, this principle is, an exception could not be offered by anyone except the Alpha and the Omega. The Word became flesh, the giver of life, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's exactly what he did in John chapter 4, verse 38. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, that you sowed. Other men sowed. Other men labored, but you are entering into their labor. You're going to reap what other people have sowed. It's an amazing exemption. Because Christ came not to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Some people don't understand that. There's a big difference in destroying the law and fulfilling the law. He would have been a rebel to destroy the law. He was the perfect promise of God to fulfill the law. Christ came not to destroy the law, but fulfill it. He alone can exempt us from the law. And he has done that. He's exempted us from the curse. We no longer live as born-again Christians. We no longer live under the curse that's on this world. When we made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, he exempted us from the curse. He You know, some people say, well, you know, I really regard the Sabbath. I've got a acquaintance I've noticed up in Indiana. He's a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled guy, but he's a major, major Sabbath. They don't have any services on Sunday. All their services on Saturday. He won't mow a yard. He won't do anything on Saturday. But we need to realize this. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And so he said, now you don't esteem one day over another. Every day is holy. And so Christ has exempted us from the Sabbath day because he has brought us into a Sabbath life. When Christ fulfilled the law, it just opened up so many things. It exempted us not only from the law of the Sabbath, but judgment and even death itself. And so when we talk about the law of the Sabbath, and we talk about the law of sowing and reaping, they're still there, but they have been fulfilled in Christ. To paraphrase what Christ is saying when he said, you're going to reap where you have not sown, exactly what he's saying. He said, some will have great blessing, not only reaping where and what they sow, but they will also be an exception. Some will reap where they have never sown, and some will reap where they have sown. You will reap what you've sown. You will reap what you have not sown. And there's another part to this. There are some things that you will sow you don't have to reap. I think one of the most forlorn thing that ever happens is in sports. It's when a man is winning a game, particularly in a World Series. That pitcher, he's pitching a great game. He's almost at the end. Maybe he's in the ninth inning, and sometimes it's even happening on the last pitch of the ninth inning. And he throws that ball up there for the winning strike. But instead of that being a strike, that guy knocks it out of the park, and the World Series is lost on one pitch. And to watch the expression on that pitcher's face, it says one thing. I wish I'd have that one back. Have you ever done something you said, I wish I hadn't done that? I wished I could have that one back. That's exactly what he's saying. Not only are you going to reap where you've sown, sometimes you're going to make horrible decisions. And you're going to say, I wish I had that one back. If you are an alien to God, too bad. But if you're a Christian, you can say, I wished I had that one back. Jesus Christ himself will walk with the dugout and say, here it is, because my mercy is fresh every morning. People don't praise God because of a lack of personality. People don't praise God because of a lack of understanding. When you realize that when you got saved, you're going to reap where you have not sown, and sometimes you're not going to reap what you have sown. You get it back. What a God we serve. He covers all the bases. Reap a great harvest, a lucrative reward, even though they have not invested any labor in sowing or cultivating of this particular harvest. What an exception. What a hope. What a promise. Who could this special class of people be? It is that peculiar people that Peter talked about, the called out, the elect, the people that God have called out of this world. And he said, not only are you going to be holy to me, you're going to be exceptional to me. I'm going to do things for you that have never been done for any people in the history of the world. Friend, not only was Jesus Christ major in his sacrifice, but what he did is so monumental. It ought to affect you in a way that literally blows your mind and makes your greatest critic have to concede the point. I don't like them, but they're blessed coming in and they're blessed going out. We are the replacements. We are the replacement harvesters, the people of the double portion. Let me suggest who this special class of people that reap where they have not sown are. They're not unbelievers. They're not the people of lethargy. They're not the novice or the inexperienced. They're not the lazy or the unconcerned. Not those who do not know the work of sowing or the joy of harvest. Who are they? Oh, these are the hungry that reap where they do not sow. These are the seekers, the gate stormers, the door knockers, the take it by force people, the Elishas of the kingdom of God, the Jacobs that say, I might have been born at the wrong time, but I'm not going to take no for an answer. The Elishas of the kingdom of God that say, give me a double portion. The Calebs of the Bible that say, give me this mountain, the replacement. That's who we are. There are two groups of replacements. One group is a group that walks so closely with their predecessors that they wear not only their own mantle. God just blesses them because of what they sow and how they walk. But when that admired mentor is taken away, they assume not only their own mantle, but now they have the mantle of their departed mentor in conjunction with their own. What Elisha called the double portion. He had his blessing, but when Elijah was gone, now he's got Elijah's blessing. He got more than he sowed. He got what he sowed, and he got what Elijah sowed. The Bible said it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah performed 7 major miracles. Elisha did the same thing. That was his sowing and reaping. But then he performed another 7 miracles, which was actually a product of what Elijah had put into his life. Friend, not only can you reap what you have sown, you can reap where you have never sown because God is on your side. Good things happen to great people of faith. Not only Elisha, the disciples of Jesus. Jesus said that. He said, greater works than these shall you do. What he was saying is you are going to reap my ministry. Because I came, lived, died, and was resurrected. You didn't do that, but you're going to reap where you have not sown. The list is not long, but it's prominent. But there's another group that is a much longer list, much larger. This is the group that comes in close proximity to great and nearly great people. They know people that till great fields of soil and plant great volumes of seed. But for some reason, they abdicate the throne of their calling before the harvest can be realized and enjoyed. I've known many of those people. They fall before the harvest. They get weary in well-doing. They start fast, but they get tired before the finish line. They drop out. Those that confuse talent with desire, they fall, they fail, they quit. But what happens to their harvest? Does your harvest just fall to the ground unreaped? Oh, no. God will not allow his blessing to go to waste. Somebody's going to reap the harvest of those that begin and don't finish. God will not allow his gifts to go unopened. Here come the replacements. Those are the people that endure to the end. Those that say, I might not be the fastest, but I am the most enduring. I might not be the most talented, but I'm the one that shows up. Praise God. Sister Diane Coleman is our receptionist, and I was in a business place today or this week, and the man said, Diana, he knew her by name. He said, what a blessing. He's not even a born-again Christian. What a blessing she is. He said, I just enjoy meeting her. And I told Becky about that, and I said, another great thing about her, she's there. Oh, I know a lot of great people, but they just ain't there. They can sing, they can preach, they can dance, they can do all kinds, but they just ain't there. Friend, you got to be there. I don't care how talented you are if you're not there. But for all of those that don't show up, I will show up in their place because I'm a born replacement. You might out-preach me, and you might have more talent, but you won't out-show me because I'm going to show up because I am going to reap where I have sown, and then I'm going to be ready when Christ looks over his shoulder and says, somebody didn't show up, and I've got a blessing. I've got a field that was sown, soil that was tilled, seed that was placed, but they're not here for the harvest. I'm here for the harvest. I will reap where I have not sown. For every forsaken Demas, there is a faithful John Mark. For every bitter, critical Judas, there is an overachieving Apostle Paul. For every ego-driven king, Saul, there is a man after God's own heart, David. How long will you mourn Saul, Samuel? After a while, you've got to realize they ain't coming back. They threw down their sickle. They have abdicated their throne of calling. They're not going to reap. We just can't let the soil put forth its effort and the seed do what it does and nobody reap it. Friend, I am a reaper. I love picking the peach off the tree, the apple off the tree, the strawberry out of the patch, the grape off the vine. And the Bible said you can actually reach into hell and pull a soul out. I love five people getting baptized on a Wednesday night while other churches have just closed their doors and said, we're going to wait it out. Friend, we're not going to wait it out. We're going to harvest in the midst of what other people said is quitting time. What quitting time is to them is beginning for us because we are born harvesters. How long will you mourn Saul? I've noticed some people, every time somebody becomes disgruntled and hurt and wants to be critical, they're always there at their side and they mourn and they carry on. After a while, you got to take your hands off and say, do what you're going to do, Saul. Because there is a David on the throne, and it's time to reap. We cannot forever mourn those that could have been and should have been and has been and quit. Sooner or later, you've got to find a new person to invest your time in. Every impatient derived rock striking Moses, there is a promised land possessing Joshua. God said to Moses, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you lead my people into the promised land. Because you have just been a little too impatient, but I will have somebody that will harvest. When someone leaves this church, grieve their departure and say, I'm sad they're gone, but possess their mantle and reap their harvest. Don't let their harvest go to the ground. I am reaping where I have not sown. When I was a young novice boy at 17 years of age, I met one of the men in my life that became a mentor for the first years of my ministry. His name was Winfred Black. Winfred Black was a great, great soul winner. He was an amazing evangelist. He told me, he said, Steve, don't preach too long. I ignored that part. But he said, always strike while the iron is hot. I've seen Winfred Black preach 7 minutes because hundreds of people were coming to the altar, and he lived to see people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been with him in a car wash where he would step out and lay his hands on a car wash attendant and watch them be baptized in South St. Louis with the power of the Holy Ghost. He was a soul winner, but there's a sad epitaph to Winfred Black. He died at 57 years of age. That's just too young. But friend, because he's gone, I take myself as an Elisha. And I say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the souls I could win, and I'm going to receive the souls that Winfred Black could win, because I am going to have part of his harvest. And the Bible said we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. There are mentors in your life that are now gone, but they're looking over the balcony of heaven and cheering you on and asking you to pick up their harvest that they simply ran out of time to get. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to learn to reap where you have not sown. Say, I haven't invested enough. Oh, none of us have. I haven't given enough. None of us have. I haven't prayed enough. None of us have. That's not the point, that the Lord exempted us from lack when he fulfilled the law. And so he said, I'm going to give you everything good that you sow. But not only that, there's an exemption to that law. I'm going to cause you to reap where you've never sown. Good things are going to happen to you that you don't deserve. You're going to win souls that you didn't even plant the seed in. Somebody else did. Praise God. When you look at Joel Osteen's amazing ministry, he's affected the world. But that's not all Joel. A whole lot of that is John Osteen. He is reaping the harvest that his daddy could have reaped if he'd lived several more years. But it's not always good. Sometimes it's bad. When I came to San Antonio, a preacher here in this city came against me. He forced me to give up the credentials with my denomination. Some of his family members put a bomb in our church. Oh, they hated me for no apparent reason, except they saw me as a competitor rather than a contemporary. But friend, his life came undone. I saw him go through a divorce. I saw his son go through terrible legal problems. I saw him have terrible sicknesses. I saw his church turn against him and turn him out to where he was no longer a pastor. The last time I saw him, I will never forget it. It was right up here in this Jim's restaurant at the corner of O'Connor and 35 many years ago. I know it was many years ago because you could still smoke in a restaurant, because here was this former preacher sitting there smoking a cigarette. And I called him brother. He said, "Don't call me a brother. I am no brother. I have fallen away." And then he said this. He said, "I'm coming to surprise you one day. I'm going to sit on the back seat of your church because I just want to know what it takes to succeed in San Antonio when I failed so badly." Friend, I'll tell you what it takes. It takes knowing that God is a good God and that He will reward every investment. But not only that, because of what Christ has done, I can reap a man that's smoking a cigarette and dropped out because he's got so many problems in his life. The things that I've experienced, he should have experienced, but he did not experience. He lost out. But just because he lost out does not mean that the harvest can fall to the ground. Somebody's got to get it. And guess what? There's little old me. I lift my hand. I volunteered. I know the answer. I might be in a class of dummies, but praise God, I found out the answer. I might be in a class of quitters, but I'm not quitting. I might not be the most talented, but praise God, I'm here. And I believe in the process of reaping. The greatest church in the world. I will not call his name, but it's an amazing church. Not in the United States, but it's affected the world. Affected the world. It's a major church. It's huge. Not only that one congregation, but it spawned hundreds of congregations. I didn't know this for a long time until I saw somebody try to destroy this young man in his ministry. And they interviewed him, and they asked him about the origin of that church. And they said, "Your father started this church, didn't he?" I said, "Yes, he did." He said, "Your father was a pedophile. He was arrested as a pedophile." He dropped his head. I said, "That's true. I have no defense for my father." But just because his father failed didn't mean this guy failed. He took what his father should have done and said, "I'll do it for him." I understand that his father has come back to Christ, and I hope all has been forgiven, but that's not the point. The point is that this man reaped not only what he has sown, he reaped what his father sowed and did not stay to reap. Friend, there are unreaped fields all over San Antonio. There are unreaped fields in acquaintances that you have known. And friend, just because they quit, just because they stopped, does not mean that you should stop. You ought to get up every morning and say, "I'm going to be blessed more than I deserve. I'm going to reap everything I've sown, but I'm going to reap a whole lot of stuff I've never sown, just because God wants me to." You know, there is a great purpose that God has. He said, "All things work together for the good, for those that love and are called according to his purpose." The purpose demands that God cause people to reap where they have not sown. And that's exactly what's happening in my life. And I close with this. I've used it before, but I just found it, it's just such a unique story. It just explains so many things to me. Many years ago, I was preaching in a great church in Houston, Texas. It was running 2,000 when nobody run 2,000 people. I'm talking about in the 70s. The pastor was an amazing man, a very humble guy with a great church. And he came to me just brokenhearted and weeping. And he said, you heard what happened last night?" I said, "No, I haven't heard." And he called a missionary's name that I knew. And he said, "Last night, he got in his car, taped a garden hose to the exhaust, run it through the window of his car, closed the garage door, started up the engine, asphyxiated himself, killed himself." He was a great guy. But here was the problem. He'd been a missionary for years, and he had totally failed on the missionary field. He had one convert, a little Ethiopian boy about that high, about 10 or 12 years of age. That was his only convert after years. And so he came back to Houston, Texas, totally defeated and destroyed. I was at a conference in Louisville, Kentucky several years ago, and a lot of these people I know, but there's a lot of new people that's come in that denomination that I don't know. This guy just attached himself to me. He followed me around. Every time I go to eat, he's with me. There's four or five guys with me. And finally, I asked my brother-in-law, I said, who is that guy? You don't know who that guy is? I said, no. I said, why is he following me around? I said, he likes you. He likes your ministry. He knows who you are. I said, well, who is he? He said, oh, he's from Ethiopia. He said, I've been there and preached for him. He said, you remember the little convert boy? And he called the missionary's name that had killed himself. He said, you remember hearing that story? I said, yeah. He said, he's that little boy. He said, now he's pastor in Ethiopia. He said, I just preached a conference for him of leaders in Ethiopia. He said, they had speakers over 100 feet in the air because there was 250,000 people standing in front of me when I preached. And this man is responsible for them. The point is, the poor missionary died in vain. He thought he was a failure. He's the greatest success story I know, and he died thinking he was a failure. He died prematurely, not reaping the harvest. But there was a young 12-year-old boy that said, hey, I'm going to reap everything I sow, and then I'm going to reap everything my mentor sowed. I'm going to reap where I have not sown. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what, God's blessed you, but not nearly as much as he wants to. There's a God that says, he wants to bless you beyond your capacity. He said, I want to overflow you. There's a Jesus Christ that died in our place that said, hey, I'm going to cause you to reap everything you sow that's good. Those things that are not, I'll nullify that. But he said, not only that, he said, I'm going to cause you to reap what your mama didn't reap, or your daddy didn't reap, or your preacher didn't reap, or your friend didn't reap, or your sister that gave up in the kingdom of God, or the backslider. They had a reward coming, but they just left out. And so I'll take it in their place. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel like that's where I am. I've been talking to my wife and talking to Brandon and Sean. The blessings of the Lord have been so great in my life. They're literally overflowing me. I don't deserve that, but somebody somewhere did. But they didn't stay for the harvest. But praise God, I'm here for the harvest. I'm here for the reaping. I'm here for the outpouring. And as you used to say, it gets gooder and gooder. It gets bigger and bigger. It gets better and better. The best really is yet to come. I'm not afraid. I'm not looking at the political turmoil. I'm not looking at COVID-19. I'm not looking at the world scene and saying, well, it's all over. I'm saying it's just beginning. There is a God that sets high, but he looks low. There is a God that has a heaven, but he operates on the earth. There's a lot of people falling out and falling by and quit and stop, but it does not affect the harvest. The harvest is still there. He said the fields are white, but the laborers are few. He said there's a harvest there. I'm just looking for people to get blessed. I'm just looking for people to get rich. I'm just looking for people to harvest souls. I'm just looking for people that want to be anointed. I'm just looking for Elisha's that want Elijah's part two. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the finest hour that we've ever lived in. And Living Way Church, get up. Stand up every morning of your life and say, praise God, I'm going to reap every good thing I've sown. And now I'm going to reap where I have not sown. Because there is a God that said, I will pour out in abundance in the last days. And praise God, it's happening in my life. and the best is yet to come. It's going to get bigger. I'm going to see more souls. I'm going to see more healings. I'm going to see more miracles. I'm going to see more people. I'm going to see more money. I'm going to see more joy. I'm going to see more peace. Praise God. I'm just going to keep reaping the blessing of the Lord. If you're in this room right now and you say, I have not reaped what I've sown, you need to get up here right now and say, I want what I've sown.